from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. It's a good day. I chose to sleep in today.
Okay.
Yeah, because I typically get here early to do some writing to get some Niners Wire stuff out of the way so I don't have to worry about it later. But the NFL schedule release is, quote-unquote, tonight at, quote-unquote, 5 o'clock Pacific. So I'm going to be writing a lot tonight, so I'm not going to worry about it this morning. So I was like, yeah, I'll take advantage of it, sleep in, get to work a little later. I hated it.
Oh, really?
The extra hour-ish, hour 15 of sleep was not worth the extra traffic.
Mm.
Getting in here, my routine is all thrown off. Usually I have half an hour, 45 minutes to kind of peruse and start putting the rundown together and read some stuff. Whereas today it was like, gotta go. So I won't do that again.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have my system. I roll in right around 9 o'clock, sometimes a little earlier, but mm-hmm. a lot of times I get stuck in pickup line, well, drop-off
right.
line at
yeah,
high
yeah.
school. I'm waiting for my 16-year-old just to get his driver's license, so I don't have to do that in the morning.
Yeah, 1,000%.
But then I have to get him a car, so
we need to, as a group, talking you, me, Chatty House, as a family, we need to figure out a way to make sure the homie's getting out of bed.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's tough.
Like, we got to make a play, Doc.
He's got like the like blaring horns alarm.
Yeah.
Oh no, you walk in and it's just like going.
So here's the thing, and maybe I'm misremembering this. I'm sure I'll get a text from at least one of my parents that I'm wrong here, but I was the same way when I was young, when I was that age. You could have a fire engine in my room and I would not hear it. Just dead sleep. Same thing when I was in college. I missed some classes because I just didn't wake up to my alarm. So I remember, though, at least when someone came and woke me up, like I got out of bed. Like my alarm might go off for 20 minutes first, but when mom or dad or whoever came in, it was like, yo, turn this off, out of bed. I got out of bed at least.
I make him stand up. Like, hey, I'm not leaving until you stand up. Stand up.
Smart.
And then I come back and he's back in bed asleep.
Good Lord, dude.
He's back. And then,
coach.
So I'll go get in the shower. I'll come back and there he is asleep.
Brutal.
I'll wake him up again. I'll go get like dressed and like, you know, everything else done. I come back. He's asleep again.
Does that not stress you out?
Oh,
not
stresses
you. Not
me
you.
Out
not
completely.
You. But when I wake up, if I wake up like 10 minutes before my alarm, I lay there wide awake. Because I'm stressed out that, hey, I'm going to miss this alarm. And then everything's, I hate being rushed. I'm going to get to the airport 2 hours before the flight person. I just hate the idea of being, I would so much rather get everything knocked out up front and then have time to relax.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like to get everything done way early.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're simpatico there.
Even like the rundown, like I like to do the rundown at night
yes.
because I'm like when I'm kind of like calming down and getting ready for bed, I'll sit there in bed with my laptop and I'll just write it because I'm watching a game and I'll have stuff fresh in my mind. Sure. And then I'll like move on and I'll go right to sleep.
Sure.
But I wake up now at 6, which I'm not an early morning person.
Okay. Right. Because, you're on NBA clock.
Because I'm worried about a 7:30 alarm and my body like wakes me up every time. So it's frustrating. It's different.
Yeah, man. So the idea of somebody waking me up because I have to be at school, like I have a hard appointment. This is not I get like this, like with this. Realistically, I like to be here by 9 at the latest, but realistically, to do this job, I need to be here by, 9:50.
Yeah.
Like, right. I mean, to physically do it, but again, you can't do it well if you're pulling up 10 minutes before the show. So that's why we do about an hour. But the idea of, hey, I have a hard start time at school. It is 8:15 or whatever time school starts. 7:45, I don't know. Whenever school starts, I have to be there. The idea of being woken up and then being like, meh, I'm going to climb back in bed and go to sleep is insane to me. Oh, that's, we need an uptick in urgency.
Something wild has happened in the chat, just so you know.
Oh, what happened?
My wife has joined the chat, which doesn't ever happen.
Hey, we love this. Hang on, let me get my buttons on. That leads perfectly into where I wanted to go with this. A very happy birthday to both of you, to both James and to Mrs. Ham.
Yes, we have the same birthday, which is just random.
Incredible.
Yeah. We're not the same age, but we have the same birthday.
Very happy 23rd birthday to her and a 28th birthday to you.
Something like that. Yeah. She does not usually show up in the chat.
No, that's incredible. This is amazing. What a day. This is a momentous day for the show. 10:05 on May 15th, 2024. We had Mrs. Ham in the chat. And like I said, a happy birthday to both of you.
Thank you.
I got you guys some wine.
I love it. I will drink
that's
this
for
wine.
Both of you. I don't know if she's a red wine person, but you don't get to just open that and crush it yourself.
We're straight up drinkers, Kyle.
Great. Yeah. So there's two bottles there. They're different, but you can, if you want to go one each. How you do it is up to you guys.
Just put a straw in it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
They do that. Have I told you they do that at Vining Grain?
Oh, no.
Out of Doco?
Oh, really?
Yeah, dog.
They have a nice charcuterie board there.
Bro, I love Vining Grain. Yeah. They want to sponsor the program. We will do wine-related content for them.
All the time.
But comparing Kings Players to wine. Oh. We can do wine tasting and be like, you know what? This has...
Full-bodied? This is reminding me more and more of Trey Lyles.
That could get weird. I feel like that could definitely get weird. Maybe we don't do that.
Maybe we don't.
No. But they do that because of during the pandemic, they got their license to sell booze to go.
Oh.
And you can get happy hour wine or happy hour red, whatever it is. It's good. They'll put it in like a Capri Sun bag for you with a straw.
Oh.
And you just motor on out.
Like a Capri... Oh, man.
I don't know that you're technically supposed to like walk around with it and drinking it in Doco.
I don't think so.
I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I'd done that.
Okay.
But you could theoretically.
You should just put it like in a camel bag and just like...
I think that would also play.
Okay.
But yeah, anyways, pro tip. I know you're typically working when you're down there, but if you're ever down there not working and you go to Vining Grain during happy hour...
I would love to. I don't drink on game days at all.
No, right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you're down there during not basketball season, that would be a, I don't know.
All right.
Or if anybody else is down there and can drink on a game day.
There it is. I suggest a charcuterie board.
Yeah, the charcuterie board's really good at finding.
Yeah, it's very, it's good stuff. I like that spot.
Yeah. It's David DLC in the chatty house says it's his son's third birthday as well. So a very happy birthday to your 3-year-old. Anybody else for the birthday today? We can do birthday shout-outs every day.
There we go.
I love that. Anyways.
May's a big month for birthdays.
Yeah, it is. All right. I'm not a birthday guy. I used to be... I subscribe to the... I like celebrating other people's birthdays. But for me, I subscribe for me personally to the Patton Oswalt rule of birthdays, where like... I believe it's after 21. This is my variation of it. If this is not his exact, after 21, you get a birthday every 10 years. So 30, 40, 50.
Okay.
That's how that goes for me.
I don't feel like we need to do like big birthday parties unless it's a big birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Every 10 years I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do something special for my birthday. But other than that, it's like, yeah, I could go to dinner with the wife and the family and the in-laws.
Yeah, we'll go to dinner with like the front. See, that's I think that's a little different. We don't do a lot of family birthdays.
Like
with the boys, yeah, but and we don't even open that up to like extended family. Like it's usually like us and their friends.
Sure.
So that's always how we've dealt with their birthdays. And with us, it's usually we'll go out to a restaurant with friends. And then we might do that once or twice in the week of our birthday.
Yeah. We got my group of friends that's up here in Sacramento. Me and my wife live out in the Bay Area, and our group of friends lives up here. All of our birthdays, legitimately, there's six of us, and all of our birthdays are within like a month and a half of each other.
Mm.
So we just do, we pick something in early September and just make it a whole thing.
Yeah, my like all of mine and my brother's kids, except for my youngest and and my sister's daughter, they're all in like a 5 week stretch. So just like the grandparents. Just bankrupts the grandparents.
But at least you get it out of the way all at once. I used to, when I lived in Arizona, I had my birthday like hidden on Facebook.
Mm.
And we were out one night with some friends and it was my birthday. I hadn't told anybody that. And I had to show the waiter my ID. And the waiter was like, "Happy birthday." And everyone got mad that I had not announced that it was my birthday. And that was when I realized, because I used to not care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm a year older. It doesn't matter to me. But then I realized that, hey, maybe it matters to somebody else. Like somebody else wants to do something nice for me. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to be a jerk and be like, no, I don't want. So that's just how it goes now.
Yeah, I'm getting closer and closer to big birthdays, and I'm not too happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the 5-0 coming up?
I don't know. Eventually, yes.
Turned 34 this year. It's a weird vibe for me.
Yeah, it's kind of you're lost. You're in the middle.
I'm turning the age my folks were when they moved into the house that they currently live in.
Oh.
And that's a weird thing for me because like I remember my parents at that age. It's a tough one for your boy to wrap his head around.
Mm.
I'm not going to have an existential crisis on the radio, but I badly want to.
But you're super close to it.
Boy, we're awfully close. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on from that. We'll talk about the NFL schedule release. We'll have some scorching hot NBA postseason takes. I hate the NFL schedule release.
Yeah.
I hate it. Just do it. Just get up. Either here, you have two choices. Release it all at once at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, or give it to every media member, send it out to whoever's on the email list, and let people just post it.
Yeah, I told you I had a boss who got the schedule early, but he's like, I can't give you the schedule, but I need you to go out and find the schedule so you can pre-write stuff. And I'm like, but I don't need to find it. You have it. I can't give it to you.
I need somebody else who can't give it to you to give it to you.
Like, it's like, hey, bro, like if I were to violate our partnership here, you can just fire me if I were to do something silly, like just decide to post it, you know, 8 hours early and get you fined or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why won't you just give it? Like, what are we doing? Why are we making this complicated? No.
I don't know.
So then I have to like go hit all these sources. Hey, do you have the schedule? Do you have the schedule? And eventually you find someone like, yeah, I've got part of it. So here, let me feed you what I got. Right. And you're like, okay, well, this doesn't feel great.
And then you try and go back to somebody else and go, here's the parts of it I got. Can you fill in the blanks?
Yeah.
That's the worst, dude. And now you've got people who leak, quote unquote. Here's the deal. These are not schedule leaks when the league is announcing them. The league's just announcing the schedule before they said they were going to announce the schedule. Just do it. Just let it rip. You know, okay, we know the Niners have six primetime games. Okay, we know that now. We know they got two Monday, two Sunday, two Thursday. We know what weeks. We know the opponents. The rest of the schedule, couldn't tell you. Bye week, so you can plan some stuff? Nope. You gotta wait till 5. Wait till 5 for that.
Do they have 9 home games or 8 home games?
8 this year.
Oh.
Yeah. We know they're not playing internationally. There was some thought they might be playing the Vikings in London at Tottenham Stadium. They were not doing that. It's just annoying. We'll talk more about the schedule release. And any schedule leaks that do come out during our show, we'll make sure to get them up here for you for both the 49ers and the Raiders. We have some NBA postseason stuff to talk about, though. We got to continue our Kings offseason conversation that will continue throughout the summer. And Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut last night. We will talk about that as well right here on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Mornings with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. And get off the birthday topic. We'll talk about some NBA postseason. And again, we'll have some NFL schedule stuff for you as well. Yo, that was pathetic from Tyrese Halliburton last night. That was a joke from a player who is supposed to be that dude, from a player who's going to be second or third team All-NBA, from a player who was being, he's on the Olympic team, over players like Kyrie Irving and Jalen Brunson. This is a player who was crowned earlier this season, by me included. I was right there with everybody else. It's like, wow, he is that dude. And at points last night, he looked like he was actively avoiding having the basketball, hanging out on the perimeter. He'd get inside, get to the key. Oh, get it to Aaron Nesmith. That's who we want taking a shot. That was a rough, rough game for our guy Tyrese.
Kyle, there was one play where I was watching and it looked like he was going to try to set a screen, but then his guy came up pretty hard up for the screen. Mm-hmm. So he went out all the way out to the three-point line, but by the sideline and kind of stood there to drag his guy away. And it's like, man, are you actively avoiding being in the play?
Insane.
Like, it's almost like, at least when JaVale McGee stood off the court on the baseline, you knew what he was doing. Like, it served a function. So watching, like, what are you doing? You know, and I'll bring this up. Like, Domantas Sabonis got dragged for his playoff performance last year. 17 shots, 12 shots, 14 shots, 13 shots, 15 shots, 12 shots, 16 shots.
Yep.
Whether the ball goes in the hoop or not doesn't matter. At least he's going out there and being functional. He's fighting. There was some great defense on him, including a perennial all-NBA defender in Draymond Green and a great defender in Kevon Looney. At least you could say that. With Halliburton, I'm like, man, what are you doing? Like, just, he was so good in the last game, but man, this game was, it was tough to watch. It was really, really tough to watch. And if you're going to anoint somebody, like, you got Jalen Brunson over there playing like a superstar.
Yes.
Superstar. He doesn't care.
Yes.
He's coming for your soul.
Yes.
He took four times as many shots as Tyrese Halliburton.
Yes.
What in the world?
And I get that, hey, this is his first taste of the playoffs and this and that. But Anthony Edwards is going out. And again, not Anthony Edwards' first taste of the playoffs, but Anthony Edwards was on the road against the defending champs putting up 40. And going out and taking games by the horns and saying, I'm taking over this game. He wasn't very good last night, and we'll get to that. But we have my problem with Tyrese Halliburton is we had this conversation in game one of this series. We had this exact conversation when he went 2-for-6.
Five.
Then he comes out.
Oh, no.
2-for-5 from three. 2-for-6 from the field. Yeah. But next game, 11 of 19. A lot better. Scored 34 points.
That's right.
Game three, first one at home, 26 shots. He scores 35 points. Game four, team's kicking ass. He only needed 15 shots. He scored 20 points, but 5 assists, 6 rebounds. Really effective. Really, really impactful game from him. He hit a three against Dante DiVincenzo, sneered at the crowd, and did the, like, they got this guy guarding me, he can't guard me. He did that. He was talking smack.
Trash.
Yeah, that was, almost caught it.
Yeah.
And then comes back last night in New York in a situation where that game is getting away. You could tell very, very early on, once that second quarter really got rolling, I thought the officiating last night was a joke. The three reviews in like 2.5 minutes of game time, figure it out. Like, oh my God, figure it out. Let them freaking play. The offensive foul or the foul on Aaron Nesmith that became an offensive foul on Jalen Brunson. Scott Foster blew the whistle and then looked across the court like, hey, who's that on? Like, you blew the whistle. You tell me. Anyways, I digress. As that game was getting away, you could see it happening in the second quarter. Is big shot from Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, runs up the court, gets in the paint, kick it out to Aaron Nesmith. Gets in the paint, stops, turns around, throws it back up to Miles Turner. What is... Get a shot off, dog.
Just like do timid.
Literally anything. And
yeah.
The problem is we've seen him be really good in this series the previous three games. And then on the road, as this game is getting away where his team is going to go down 3-2 in the series, he is nowhere to be found.
Wild, man.
It is really rare that I agree with Bill Simmons. I'm just not a big Bill Simmons guy. Obviously, super successful. No disrespect. I just don't agree with him a lot of the time.
I don't either.
Here's what he said on his podcast. Quote, "That's an embarrassing game for Halliburton. This guy's on the Olympic team. This guy is being talked about for second team NBA. He was 35 feet from the basket. Nembhard had the ball more than him. It really honestly looked like he didn't want the ball. I don't know what happened to him." That is a perfect summary of whatever the hell that was from Tyrese Halliburton last night.
Super tough. I don't know where you, like, look, he's a young player. This is his first go. But you have to understand, like, you're in it. Like, this is the thick of it, man.
We're there.
This was game five. This is like whoever wins this game historically typically wins a series. And you just, like, no-showed. And he's such the pulse of this team. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Basically, I said he's like Steve Nash. Like, mm-hmm. right? He dribbles the ball. He doesn't pick up his dribble. He just keeps moving and moving and moving until he sees an opening, and then he finds a guy. Well, all of that just, like, fell apart. Like, how do you go from... It's almost like if Sabonis just stopped passing for a game, and everyone's like, hey, man, what happened to Sabonis? I don't know. He's got one assist. And it's not because a bunch of you fools miss shots. It's because he's not passing. But that's what it's like with Halliburton. Like, all of a sudden, like, you won't even shoot. Like,
yeah.
It's okay to not take a bunch of shots if you're up by 15 or you're up by 12 and you're leading your team with, like, yes. You got 12 or 14 assists, yes. And you're dealing and you're mm-hmm. setting everybody up and everyone's got this feel-good vibe. But when that's not what you're doing, it's tough, man.
Like, bro, I don't want Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith and God bless Pascal Siakam, but a Pascal Siakam 10-foot contested fadeaway is not the shot I want to work for.
No.
And there was so much of that last night because Tyrese Halliburton just wasn't impactful enough. In the first half, of that game, which the Knicks won 69-54, they were up 15 at the half. And again, they really pulled away. They were up 6 after the first quarter. They outscored the Pacers by 9 in the second. Halliburton had the same amount of shots in the first half as Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell. He had fewer shots than Miles Turner and Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard, and Pascal Siakam.
Mm.
And it would be one thing if he went, like you said, if he went 3-for-18, it's like, man, you know what,
he
tried to take over that game and just didn't. That'd be one thing. But if you're gonna have smoke for Domantas Sabonis, or pick a player who has ever gotten this, reputation as somebody like, yeah, hey, you know what? He's not that good until he does it in the postseason. Well, Tyrese Halliburton's here. I get he's had some nice games this playoffs. I'm not trying to say that he hasn't. But in the biggest spot of the season, the two biggest spots of the season, game one and then game five,
mm-hmm.
he had nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, it's tough.
He's got. It'd be great if he rectified that at home in game six and leads them to a win, but then it's going to come down to game seven.
Yeah.
And everything anybody thinks about Tyrese Halliburton next year and moving forward is going to come down to what happens in these next two playoff games.
Probably.
At least it should.
Yeah.
If we're going off of how these things typically go.
If we're going to hold somebody to the same standard that you hold other players to.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
Keep that same energy, as the youths say. On the other hand, on a more positive note, Jalen Brunson's a freaking man, dude.
He's a baller.
I'm so in on Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. I mean, watching him take a charge, it just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, all right, bro, not only are you going to drop like 40-something.
44 points.
You're going to take a charge and, like, when the game is pretty much over. Okay. Straight
Love
up baller.
Love to see it.
Straight up
Love
baller.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
I will say it every single time he does this. I was big wrong about Jalen Brunson. Now we'll see if the Knicks have any gas left. That was great that, you know, I think winning in a blowout last night where the minutes weren't as high intensity, you got a little bit of rest. for some of your key guys. Jalen Brunson still played 43 minutes. Miles McBride 40. Josh Hart 39. But 39 is a far cry from 48.
Mm-hmm.
So Dante DiVincenzo just 30 minutes. Alec Burks played 23. Precious Achiuwa played 23. So again, not having to play 48 high intensity minutes, I think is going to bode well for the Knicks heading into Game 6.
Yeah, and stumbling on Alec Burks, not a bad thing.
That's, yeah.
Like, hey, look, that guy can play.
My man can put the ball in the basket, bro.
Yeah.
6 of 11, 5 of 8 for Sacramento Kings legend Alec Burks. Sacramento Kings legend?
Mm-hmm.
He's here for a minute, right?
Yeah.
Like, literally a minute?
Yeah. I think he played, like, 14 games, scored, like, 9 points.
Oh, that's right.
It was not good. It wasn't his finest hour.
Speaking of 9 points, he's a plus 9 last night in his 23 minutes. All right, we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Sacramento Kings. We're just kind of continuing the conversation we've been having the last couple of days. But we also have to talk about the other playoff game that happened last night in Denver. I owe the Nuggets an apology. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. That's the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. If you'd like to chime in during the show, feel free to give us a call. The way the calls work on this show is it's going to ring until we pick up. So, be
or
patient.
Or we don't.
Or we don't. Yeah, maybe we're rolling and we decide not to pick up. So if you want to call, have some patience. But we will do our very best to get to you on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. I owe the Denver Nuggets an apology. I'm sorry. I doubted the champs. With the way they got dominated in the first two games against the Timberwolves, and with the way they were acting on the court, throwing things on the court, everybody's getting technicals and screaming at referees, and the vibes were bad. The vibes were down. And Minnesota just looked like a bad matchup, like a team that, you know what, they just have the right ingredients to deconstruct the Nuggets machine. I was wrong. The Timberwolves did not have that. Nikola Jokic is still very much the best basketball player on the planet. And he has shown it in the last, not just two, not just the games in Minnesota, but especially last night. They went into Minnesota, they got two, they came back home, they defended their home court, and now they are one win from the conference finals. And they once again look like this inevitable machine that we talked about time and time again in round one. I apologize to them for ever doubting that they were anything less than that. All hail the Denver Nuggets. What a team.
Nikola Jokic is cementing himself as a potential top 10 player of all time.
Yes.
And no one wants to acknowledge it. They don't want to acknowledge that his greatness. He had a play in, I think it, like the game was getting a little tight. It was like in the third or early fourth quarter. He grabbed a rebound and just turned and fired a 60
on foot the money
strike to a guy for a wide open layup. Insane. Just incredible.
To not only throw that pass, but to know that he's down there. His back was turned.
Just grabbed it, turned, and fired and hit a guy in stride for a wide open bucket. Like one of the greatest outlet passers we've ever seen. And just the way that he systematically destroyed the defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Like embarrassed him.
Their adjustment in this series was, hey, instead of trying to pass it and stuff and get these lobs to Aaron Gordon and get Jamal Murray in the pick and roll, like, no, we're just going to get it to Nikola Jokic, and he is going to destroy Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan,
David Robinson,
whoever, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I am not floored because there was never any doubt that Nikola Jokic was the best player in the league.
Yeah.
But watching him do this against a Minnesota team that for 96 minutes, the first 96 minutes of the series, looked like they had figured it out. And Jokic just single-handedly going, nah, no, you didn't.
Fooled you.
Oh, you think you're going to stick around in this game? No. Here's 40. Rudy Gobert? No. Can't guard me. Karl Anthony Towns? No. Can't guard. Naz Reid?
Yeah.
No chance.
I love it, man. It's like you look at the guy who I don't want to call him a water boy at the NBA level, but you know the guys who have like Gatorade back behind the bench, and you're almost waiting for him to like hand him a can of whoop ass. Just like, I just opened that. You see that? Just, it just like steps on the court. You're like, what in the world just happened? That dude doesn't look like, I mean, he just destroyed the defensive player of the year. And I swear they were trying to make like some sort of commentary about it. Like, oh, you know, Rudy Gobert is having a great offensive game himself. He's up to 15 points. Oh, wait. No, he finishes with 18 on a perfect 7 of 7 from the field. But when you score 18 and 11 and your opponent doubles up on you, goes 15 to 22 from the field, hits a couple of threes. Yeah, absolutely wild to watch him work.
Rudy Gobert had 8 points, 8 of his 18 points in the third quarter. A quarter the Timberwolves lost by 8 points and allowed 38 points. He was a minus two in his best quarter of the game. I mean...
And it's funny, every time we do this, I look and Gobert is a minus two in a game where McDaniels was a minus 18, Cat was a minus 17, Alexander Walker was a minus 13, and Anthony Edwards was minus 12. You got Rudy Gobert is the only guy who's like a minus two, him and Naz Reid.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. Like, watch it. He just got destroyed.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of Anthony Edwards, we were talking about Tyrese Halliburton and not playing well last night. Anthony Edwards did not play well last night either. He went 5 of 15 from the field. He was 1 of 5 from 3. He did have 4 rebounds and 9 assists, though. He also had 4 turnovers and 18 points. At least he kept shooting it. At least he kept taking the ball and trying to figure out, hey, how can I impact this game?
Yeah, his takes to the basket were incredible.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
But after the first two games, my knee-jerk reaction was, I don't know if the Nuggets have a fix for this. And they did, because Michael Malone is a great coach, and that's a good coaching staff. And a really good group of players. It's the defending champs for a reason. But genuinely, on Minnesota's side, this is where the what do you even do comes in. And this is what makes the Nuggets so tough. Because Jokic's individual gravity, because he can just go, all right, yep, hang on, everybody get on my back. I'm going to go give us 40. And we're going to go up 3-2 in this series. Now, if you try and double him, that's where his passing comes into play. That's where Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Christian Brown. Like, that's where all these guys, who we hear about time and time again, all of a sudden start getting these wide-open threes and these wide-open drives to the basket. And this is where you kind of throw your hands up and you're like, what do you do with this team?
No, I totally... And big shout-out to Michael Malone, because this thing... He got outcoached the first two games.
No doubt.
And he just straight up figured it out.
Yep.
Like, whatever it was.
Let Nikola Jokic do more stuff.
Well, but no, you felt like the whole time there was something like that they were doing wrong schematically that was causing this type of, you know, lopsided score. But like, they just looked frustrated and out of sorts. They didn't look like themselves. There was just something that they were doing that wasn't correct, or that Minnesota had done that was causing the angst in their defense, or in their offense. And you're waiting to figure out, like, what is it that's happening? How is it that not only can you defend Jokic, but you can also defend Aaron Gordon on the lob? They made the adjustments, whatever it was.
Yep.
They figured out whatever the schematic piece was, and then game over. And you're waiting for Chris Finch to come up with the counter, and, you know, it's just not there.
At this point, you have to start throwing doubles at Jokic, right? And you just have to go, great, if all those other guys are going to hit shots, then so be it. But you cannot, if for no other reason for Rudy Gobert's psyche, you cannot let him drop 40 on Gobert's head again.
Yeah, I would think that that's the case. I mean, I would double him with Cat, double him with the small guy. Like, whatever you can do, just start throwing bodies at him.
You have to do something.
Yeah, especially McDaniels. Like, get McDaniel involved. Like, he's a very, very good defender. Mm-hmm. Throw him at him in the double team because of the length and the athleticism. Maybe you could do something there, but, man, you saw it last night. Like, the behind-the-back pass where Naz Reid fouled Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon was so good, but Christian Brown just, he had a moment in the game where he took over. Like, like two or three defensive stops in a row that led to breakouts.
Yeah.
He was so, so good.
Yeah.
And that's where you start to look at the culture piece. Like, that's where you start to figure out that Michael Malone has developed a culture over his 7-8 years there. Mm-hmm. And, well, I don't know how many is it, 8 or 9 years at this point. Mm-hmm. But he's developed a culture where a young guy like this in his second season can step in and have this monstrous role. And just a memo to the Sacramento Kings, that's why you keep a guy like Mike Brown, so the culture continues to develop, and then you have players that step up at crucial moments when they've been empowered.
It's a great point.
That's what Keon Ellis did this season. I don't know if anyone noticed how good Keon Ellis was, but you empowered a young guy who is on a two-way contract to step into a role and fill in when you lost two of your main guys, you know, in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the learning lesson. I know there's a lot of talk because, of course, we all know what happened with Malone here in Sacramento. But there was a lot of talk that Vivek knew that was a mistake after the fact. But he also knew that he got it right the first time with Michael Malone as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted more control over that aspect, that he could get it right again. Well, he got it right now. You got it right. Like, you have a really, really, really good coach who has the potential to be a great coach, who has the potential to, you know, do big, incredible things for you as a coach. Number one, support him with the right players. Number two, extend him. Give him the contract he deserves.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Because we're on the same page there. You and I both, if Vivek called both of us and said, Vivek, call the show, 916-909-1320. Avid listener, I heard. if he called and said, hey, should I do this? Be like, yes. Yeah, do it now. Get off the phone with me and call Mike's agent or whoever and get this done today, right now.
Yeah.
A, it gives us content for the rest of the week. B, it's the right thing to do. But is there any concern from you? And this is genuinely, I don't know. Because I know there was, I was not here in Sacramento then, but I know there was consternation about Monty McNair's contract a little bit. And then they eventually got the extension done. It was over.
They got the extension done because they just kept winning. And he put together a winning ball club.
Right.
And they got to February and boom, they took care of it.
Right. So is there any concern from you or that you've noticed about, hey, maybe they're going to make Mike go into this year with, or Mike, I don't know the guy, Coach Brown go into this year with a, on the last year of his contract with no extension, saying like, prove it and make the playoffs. Again, not, this is not my thinking. This is just, I'm trying to see if this is how, like, do you foresee, yeah, an extension is going to happen. This is just negotiation process. They're going to get it done. Or could you see them going, hey, make the playoffs, because if you don't, we're going to move on and we don't want to give you this contract extension where now we're paying 3 years and $30 million on a contract for a coach that's no longer with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that they do go into the season, but it's just a huge mistake.
Massive.
So from what I know, according to my sources, Mike makes less than $5 million a year. And you got a guy like Jamal Mosley, who got signed as a coach with no proven track record, mm-hmm. with no head coaching experience by the Orlando Magic at 7. Mike Budenholzer just got a 5-year, $50 million deal to coach the Phoenix Suns, right? Like, this is the going rate for head coaches has jumped since Mike got his contract. And so they had a mutual agreement for this summer, for the fourth season,
mm-hmm.
and that mutual agreement's been opted out of, and for good reason. Like, the going rate for a coach with a 604, 605 career win percentage, like, look, we keep saying this, but first of all, the Kings have had they've had 10 seasons above 500.
What did you say his career winning percentage was?
605?
607.
607.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have been confused with Mike Budenholzer's.
Or you might have been confusing it. Oh, never mind. We're good. Go ahead.
I think Mike Budenholzer's is 604.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Good coach.
Yeah, like, this is that you wanted a culture builder. You wanted a coach that connected with your players. This is a guy. So this is what happened in 2000 and what was it, 2014, when they let Mike Malone go.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the patience to see it through. You've had 10 seasons in 39 years. This will be the 40th year in Sacramento for this team. 39 years, you've had 10 seasons above 500. 8 of those are Rick Adelman. 2 of them are Mike Brown.
Man.
That's it. Like you need to continue what you're doing. Stay the course. There is no guarantee that anyone else will have the same impact. And there's actually a pretty good track record. Just go ask Rudy Gay about what it means to lose a coach that you signed up to play for and then gets fired. Because that's where you're starting to run a risk.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Man. Mike Brown had a re-up with Cleveland in the 2013-14 season.
Mm-hmm.
He got 33 wins out of this team. This is a sidebar now. He got 33 wins out of this team. These are their top 10 players in minutes. 21-year-old Kyrie Irving, a good player. 28-year-old Luol Deng. 22-year-old Tristan Thompson. Spencer Hawes. Deion Waiters. Jarrett Jack, Anderson Varejao, Andrew Bynum, CJ Miles, and Matthew Dellavedova. Whew. It was their top 10 in minutes.
What season is that?
13-14.
Okay.
They went 33-49. Again, not that that's like an amazing record, but just that you got 33 wins out of that team.
It's wild.
That's impressive, dude. Mike Brown's a good coach.
He is a good coach, and he's proven it. And not only that, but when he did have a setback with that Cleveland season, he went on to be an assistant for 5 years.
A very valuable assistant. Going
that,
six.
That, oh, 6 years. And he won 3 championship rings with the Golden State Warriors as a lead assistant.
Yes.
Like, he grew.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. I know the personnel changed and whatnot, but I don't think it's a coincidence that Mike Brown left the Warriors bench and Golden State has had their struggles since.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely some personnel-related stuff, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can look at their defensive rating the year that he was there, his last year there, and then you can look at the defensive rating the next year. So and you can come up with an understanding. So his final year there, their defensive rating was first in the NBA at 106.9. This is according to Basketball Reference. The next season, they were 17th at 114.4. Just like, he's a really good defensive coach.
Yep.
And that was with a team that had a bunch of stars, superstars, but also only a couple of defensive players. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did some amazing things there.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, shout out to Mike Brown. Good coach. I forget how we got there, but...
Well, because we were talking about Michael Malone and how you can't do it again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, learn from your mistakes. That's like one of the basics of life.
I remember where I was trying to go with this segment. I think the Nuggets are going to win the title again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back.
You mean Michael Malone will be a 2-time NBA champion?
I do. I do think
that. Just saying.
That's not disrespect to Boston, by the way, because Boston's going to cruise. So I think it's going to be Denver and Boston. We're back there. That's how all this goes, right? The playoffs happen, and we talk ourselves. At least I do. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but we talk ourselves into, oh hey, this team actually. Oh hey, maybe this team. Oh, is anyone scared of Boston? Oh, Boston lost game 2 to the Heat. Watch out. Oh, Boston lost game 2 against the Cavs. Dude, Boston's the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're the best team in the league for the entire year. They're going to the finals.
Yeah,
the Nuggets. They are the gold standard in the West. And okay, there's some other really good teams in the West, especially young teams. And you look at what OKC's done, it's really impressive. And Dallas looks like they're starting to figure it out. And man, the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets twice, but it's still Denver. Let's boil this down to its essence. And there is a team that has the talent level and the experience to get where they want to go. And it's Denver. And I could look dumb in a couple of days. Maybe the Timberwolves have one more adjustment and Anthony Edwards goes crazy and Rudy Gobert looks like a DPOY. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Nuggets, if they don't win game 6, they win game 7.
Yeah, I'm back to feeling like they're inevitable.
Yep.
Like they had a blip. They had 2 games where not only did they look bad, but they lost their cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of melted down and looked like babies.
And I think that's what bothered me more than anything.
Yeah.
Because the Golden State, during their run, would have quote-unquote feel-out games where they're just trying to figure out, okay, what is this other team going to try and do to us, and then we will adjust to that. And they'd have these really weird game 1s or game 2s, and you're like, man, what in the world? Like, are they just going to fall apart? And then they would just kind of methodically go about the series and win the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened in the Nuggets. The thing that was different, though, was, like you said, how they acted in that game, too. They just looked like a team that had totally lost its composure because they knew they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And nope, they're back.
They look like they're all the way back. And like they're a team that has the horses to win it all again.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see what a finals look like. Although I don't want to be disrespectful because... like, we don't know what OKC or what Dallas is going to have for them in the next round.
Sure.
I just don't think that they have enough. Like, I don't
think so either.
Yeah. It's wild to watch a team that, like, we're watching the prime of them. We're watching them in their prime. Like, what are they going to look like in 3 years? I don't know. But for right now, this is the best team in basketball, and the Celtics need to prove otherwise.
Yeah, and that's just it. That's why I don't want this to come across as disrespectful to the Celtics. The Celtics could definitely win the finals.
Yeah.
But like you said, we have proof positive that Denver can overcome the peaks and valleys that come with the finals, and they can make the adjustments, and they have answers to a bunch of different problems. And the Celtics, they've been there, and they've been really good, and they were really good all year, but they just haven't done that on that stage yet. You just got to kind of see it. So I'm going to go with the team that I know can do it. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up, man?
Hey, I don't know why it always pops up, Don. It's TC calling.
Oh,
man,
my bad, TC.
Thanks, brother.
Don't even trip, bro.
Call screener got it wrong. Go ahead.
Hey, don't even trip. It's all good. Y'all doing good, bro. I love the show. Hey, Hammer, though. Hey, this for you, too, Kyle. Okay. Hey. I really don't – hey, I'm not caring about the draft picks, bro. If it's for Brandon Ingram, if that's the move, like, I see a lot of King fans are like, oh, I'm not trying to give up, like, the deal you were talking about him and giving him, like, three or four first. I don't care, bro. Like, if we can sign Brandon Ingram, that's the move to make. Like, everybody wants these moves to be made, but they want to – oh, we want to give up Harrison Barnes and 3 second-round pick. No, bro, it doesn't work that way. If we can get B.I. for that deal and 2 or 3 first-round picks, even 4, I'm doing it, bro. I know the future, but I'm doing that for that guy. He fits in with the timeline. That'd be perfect. That's an easy 5 games with Brandon Ingram, Sabonis, and Fox. And if we bring Monk back with Keegan, not giving up Keegan, come on, bro. Y'all got to use our head on that one.
Thanks, CC. Sure.
I agree.
Yeah. That's where we need a call screener, because that would have been a great thing to have for next segment. Because we got a break in a minute. But I'm...
Well, we could just
I don't care about
cork one of these bottles of wine and
just let it rip.
Enjoy it for a minute.
All right.
Just like sit back.
All right. Yeah,
all right. We're just going to sip on wine for the last...
Do the J.J. Redick and LeBron thing.
48 seconds.
So this play is called Horns. Hey, if the Lakers hire J.J. Redick as their head coach, that's going to... I'm telling you today, right now, that is going to end in disaster.
Oh, I love it, though. I'm here for it.
Content-wise, amazing.
Yeah.
But that's going to end in disaster.
I love it because at some point, all of this, it has to at least weigh somewhat on LeBron's legacy. At least a little bit.
That's what... Yeah, man.
He's the guy who kept doing this.
Yeah, but like the Steve Nash thing in Brooklyn. He went, oh, you're going to get Steve Nash, 2-time MVP... He's well-respected. He knows the game. Yeah, we're going to get him in there. And it didn't work. And now you're going to go, yeah, hey, J.J. Redick. He podcasts with LeBron. He has LeBron's respect. You really think J.J. Redick's going to, like, step to LeBron? And when LeBron wants to do X, you think J.J. Redick goes, no, we're going to do Y?
Yeah.
No chance.
Well, that and I would
also... haven't hired him yet. I don't want to rail on him too hard, but...
I'd also point out that Steve Nash worked in the front office with the Suns. Then he worked as a coaching assistant, not an assistant coach, but a coaching... he worked with the Warriors for a season or two.
Like player development type stuff.
Yeah,
but more than that? It's a weird role.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not an official on-the-bench assistant coach.
So he at least had some buildup to what was coming next, where, like, I get it, Redick played in the league... Maybe he's like a catcher in Major League Baseball. You're like, okay, like maybe we find shooter guy that was a smart basketball player who works. But
here's the problem I have with it. In fact, you know what? I will tell you what my problem is with it when we come back, because we have to hit a break right now. But and again, the Lakers have not hired J.J. Redick. This is not a thing that has happened yet. But I'm gonna get some pre J.J. Redick takes. Off. We'll also talk about the Sacramento Kings. We will tie in TC's call and the idea of giving up draft picks to make moves this offseason. We'll dive into that and talk about who the perfect player would be for the Kings to go get. And RIP to Inside the NBA? Sounds like it. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.